It is a Gaza Corner time, and Israel celebrated its 74th Independence Day. This past week, it was Wednesday night into a Thursday night in Israel. The actual date, according to our calendar, was May 14th, 1948, when Israel declared independence. But on the Jewish calendar, it's 5ER, which is why it's not on May 14th, because it's a different calendar that's in use. It was celebrated, as I say, a few days ago. Palestinian Muslim and Christian Arabs observe May 15th as the Nakba, or the catastrophe, which marks the expulsion of the Palestinian people from Palestine. The consensus is about 750,000 Palestinians were forced into exile between late 1947 and mid-1949. American Muslims for Palestine is an organization, and I have their Nakba fact sheet. In it, it reports that 13,000 Palestinians were killed during the Nakba, and the Israeli NGO Zakrot published a map a few years ago highlighting destroyed communities. They call it the Nakba map. And it shows a little over 600 Palestinian villages were destroyed during the Nakba. But the Nakba is not a one-time event. Ethnic cleansing, killing, these are ongoing events as Israel continues its de facto annexation of the West Bank. When it captured it during Israel's Six-Day War in 1967, according to American Muslims for Palestine, 350,000 Palestinians were forced from their homeland. The Nakba is also evidenced by the multiple military assaults on Gaza in the end of 2008 into the beginning of 2009, also in 2012, the 51-day invasion in 2014, and most recently in May of last year. So many children were killed in all of those absolute carnages in Gaza. And then this past week, on Wednesday, when Israel was celebrating its Independence Day, I mean, the timing was quite incredible. The Israeli High Court provided tangible proof that the Nakba is ongoing. The court approved one of the largest forcible transfers of Palestinians from their homeland since 1967. The estimates vary. I've seen estimates from 1,000 to as much as 4,000 from the Palestinian Authority. Most of the estimates are between like 1,300 and 2,500. Residents of 8 herding communities, herding sheep, herding communities in Masafer Yatta, which is also known as the South Hebron Hills, in the southern part of the West Bank. These well over 1,000 villagers are facing forced displacement by Israeli forces on a moment's notice. In a statement, the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem said, quote, "After more than 20 years of legal proceedings, Israel's High Court of Justice ruled yesterday that when this was statement came from, it was actually meaning May 4th. So it ruled on May 4th that the forcible transfer of hundreds of Palestinians from their homes and the destruction of their communities for the clear purpose of taking over their lands in the service of Jewish interests is legal. The justices have thus proved once again that the occupied cannot expect justice from the occupier's court. The quote continues, "The decision weaving baseless legal interpretation with decontextualized facts makes it clear that there is no crime which the high court justices will not find a way to legitimize. Employing sugar-coated language, hypocrisy, and lies, the justices once again fulfilled their role in Israel's regime of Jewish supremacy and paved the way for the crime of forcible transfer to be committed while reversing reality. The ruling cast Palestinian victims as the unlawful offenders while portraying the apartheid regime as the victim," unquote. Carolyn Ort, O-R-T, the Norwegian Refugee Council's country director for Palestine, said, quote, "This court ruling effectively opens the door for the Israeli military to uproot entire Palestinian communities that have lived in Masafer Yatta for decades. The damage this decision will inflict on people's homes and source of livelihoods is irredeemable. People could be made homeless overnight with nowhere for them to go. If followed through, it would constitute a violation of international law, which prohibits Israel as an occupying power from transferring members of the occupied population from their existing communities against their will," unquote. Basil Al-Adrey, who is an activist, a journalist, he writes for 972 Mag, among others, and he's also a photographer, he said, quote, "The occupation court just decided my community will be destroyed. I live in Masafer Yatta, Palestine. An unjust 23-year-long trial ended today with a verdict of mass eviction. The army can now place us on trucks, 2,400 people, and expel us from our ancient villages one by one," unquote. Israeli human rights lawyer Michael Sefard specializes in international human rights law and the laws of war. I had the honor of attending one of his presentations in Tel Aviv during Rebuilding Alliance's leadership learning mission for U.S. congressional staff in February 2020. I was part of the team that helped, you know, bring the congressional staff over. There's a link to Michael's analysis of the High Court's legal opinion. It's a Twitter thread. It's linked at the Gaza Corner section of the Tangents playlist, and thank you, Harry, for getting it up there. Michael's Twitter feed is at SF as in Frank, ARDM as in Mary, SFARDM, SFARDM. I'll excerpt a bit from his tweets. Quote, "The court rejected the residents' petition, thus ending proceedings lasting more than 20 years, in which the danger of deportation hovers over thousands of Palestinians living in the declared firing zone. The ruling rejected the claim that the prohibition of the forcible transfer set forth in international law is customary and binding. Judge Mintz ruled that this was a treaty norm, that is, one that expresses agreements between states but is not enforceable in a domestic court." Continuing the quote from Michael Sefard, "Beyond the fact that this is a cruel decision that could lead to a humanitarian catastrophe, this rationale denying that the prohibition on forced transfer is customary law is nothing less than an embarrassing legal error. The prohibition on forced transfer is perhaps one of the oldest in the prohibitions of modern war laws. This prohibition was enshrined in the 1949 Geneva Convention," unquote. And that language reads, quote, "Individual or mass forcible transfers, as well as deportations of protected persons from occupied territory to the territory of the occupying power or to that of any other country, occupied or not, are prohibited, regardless of their motive, unquote. Francesca Albanese, the new UN Special Rapporteur for Human Rights in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, said, quote, dismissing the binding force of almost universally ratified international treaties in the context of the occupation amounts to apartheid, unquote. In 2018, Fatou Bensouda, the International Criminal Court's former chief prosecutor, warned Israel that, quote, extensive destruction of property without military necessity and population transfers in an occupied territory constitute war crimes under the Rome Statute, unquote. And the Rome Statute is the International Criminal Court's founding treaty. Israel uses, it uses its high court to give the facade of a democratic process. But the court's creative legal inventions are done with the goal of rubber stamping the occupation and enabling settlement expansion and also Palestinian displacement. Essentially, the court is used as a tool to legitimize and facilitate war crimes. Israel's goal is to occupy as much land as possible with as few Palestinians as possible, while not waking up the international community. Israel's high court said that when international law contradicts Israeli law, the latter prevails. That kind of says it all. Masafer Yatta is part of Israel-administered Area C in the West Bank. And one of the go-to strategies to steal Palestinian land and water resources is to declare the land a military firing zone. It's part of the formula for Israeli settlement expansion. According to the United Nations, Israel has designated nearly 30% of Israel-administered Area C as firing zones. And Area C comprises about 60% of the occupied West Bank. 30% of Area C, firing zones. In the 1980s, the Israeli military declared an area of around 3,000 hectares, which is over 7,400 acres, in Masafer Yatta as a restricted military zone. They call it Firing Zone 918. In its ruling, the court found that the Palestinian residents, quote, had not been permanent residents of the area, parenthetically when it was first declared as a firing zone. Therefore, their presence in the firing zone is illegal. The Palestinians provided all kinds of evidence that the families have been living there for generations, well before the creation of Israel. Haaretz columnist Amira Haas has really dedicated years and years on this particular threat of displacement for the residents of Masafer Yatta. She's written a lot of columns, and I linked a few of them at the Gaza Corner section of the playlist. Quoting from Amira Haas, Masafer Yatta's transformation into Firing Zone 918 is but another tier in a process that has been going on between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean for more than a century and serves as an illustration of the continuity of Israeli policy. The justices dismissed disparagingly the evidence provided by the residents, oral testimony, documents, and physical evidence from the actual area attesting to their connection to the place, past and present. And indeed, rejection of the historical and family memory of the indigenous population is an essential part of a settler colonial political order in which no consideration is given to its voice or past. the essence of settler colonialism is the taking over of land by an immigrant population while expelling its indigenous. She then puts parenthetically, in the most extreme case, by committing genocide, denying their linkage to the land and totally excluding them from the new political order that the immigrants have created, unquote. I linked, as I say, to a few of her stories, including one that's titled Israel Blew Up Their Houses in 1966. Now it claims their village never existed. Talking about the South Hebron Hills. The most damning piece of evidence regarding the true reason for establishing the firing zone is detailed in another Haaretz article. It is linked. It says, the title is, 40-year-old document reveals Ariel Sharon's plan to evict 1,000 Palestinians from their homes. The initiative for the declaring the area a firing zone, you would think the initiative for a firing zone would come from the army, right? Come from a general. But it came from Ariel Sharon, who at that time was a political leader. He was the agriculture minister. Quoting from Haaretz, in July 2020, the court was presented with a document unearthed by the Akavot Institute for Israeli-Palestinian Conflict Research, which revealed the express purpose behind the firing zone. In a joint committee meeting for settler affairs on July 12, 1981, attended by Israeli government and World Zionist Organization representatives, the committee's chairman, Agriculture Minister Ariel Sharon, told the IDF, the Army representative, that, quote, additional training areas must be closed in at the border between the bottom of the Hebron Hills and the Judean Desert, which I will say for my, just to give you context, the bottom of the Hebron Hills and the Judean Desert is Masafer Yatta, the South Hebron Hills. So additional training areas must be closed in at the border between the bottom of the Hebron Hills and the Judean Desert in order to stop the spreading of the Arab villagers on the mountainside toward the desert. We have an interest in expanding and enlarging the shooting zones there in order to keep these areas, which are so vital, in our hands. Many additional areas for training could be added, unquote. Sharon admitted it was not due to military necessity, but to prevent the spread of the Arab villagers of Masafer Yatta. This is kind of Kafkaesque, because what you have is potentially several thousand villagers whose families have lived in this area for generations, since early 1900s, well before Israel was created. They're having their dwellings destroyed. They're being threatened with being put on trucks and expelled due to illegally residing in a closed firing zone that was created in order to expel them. The firing zone was essentially a ruse, a tactic to expel Palestinians that had nothing to do with military necessity. During the last 23 years of litigation, Israel's civil administration has forced the villagers of Masafer Yatta to live without running water and also without electricity or paved roads and with absolutely no right to build any infrastructure. The Palestinians have also been the target of constant raids and arrests, settler violence, land seizures, and home demolitions. It's understood among the Palestinians that this is done to terrorize them, to get them to leave. Amira Haas has a piece called Settler Attack on Palestinians in Hebron Hills Serves Israeli Policy. The aforementioned journalist and photographer who lives in the South Hebron Hills, he provided this testimony concerning settler violence he witnessed. Quote, Dozens of masked men went from house to house and broke windows, smashed cars with knives and hammers. A large stone they threw hit a 3-year-old boy, Mohammed, in the head, who is in the hospital. The soldiers supported them with tear gas. The residents fled. I can't forget how the villagers left their houses terrified, the children screaming, the women crying, while the settlers entered their living rooms like they were possessed with violence and wrath, unquote. Settler violence, home demolitions, land seizure, and now the court has delivered what appears to be the final blow. The expulsion is even deeper than you might realize, because displacing Palestinians from one area to another area is bad enough. But the Palestinians of the South Hebron Hills have a nomadic lifestyle. They're shepherds, they're farmers. It's a unique community with an organic social fabric where the villagers live in caves. They live in tents. They live in stone dwellings. These are their ancestral lands they've lived on and cultivated for generations. And this will erase their lifestyle, assuming that they are displaced into an urban setting where they cannot herd or do their unirrigated farming, which is really inseparable to their history and geography in the region. I also fear for the animals. The animals may be abandoned if they're forced into more of an urban setting. In that scenario, the animals, the sheep, the animals that provide their livelihood will very likely face starvation when the expulsion takes place. One of the three judges was David Mintz, who issued the verdict. Mintz lives in Dolev, which is a settlement in the West Bank built in violation of international law. There's a Palestinian folk proverb that asks, when the rooster is the judge, meaning the settler is the judge, what kind of a ruling can a grain of wheat expect? Gaza Corner is the outset of Tangents every Saturday night. The links for the stories are all at tangents.com.